You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are continuing our series on Prepared with a Reason from Concordia Publishing House. Today we get to talk about things that are beautiful. Maybe what is art? It can't all be beautiful. It's not all beautiful. Maybe it is. I don't know. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Rosbrock. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lindenwood, Illinois. He wrote the topic, Aesthetics in Prepared with a Reason. We're going to talk about beauty and art today. Pastor Rosbrock, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Well, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
So let's talk about beauty and art. How do the concepts of beauty and art intersect with our life today, our contemporary life today?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, beauty grabs our attention. It points us to splendor, awe, amazement, that there's something more to this world than just matter. It points us, you know, beyond all of that. And, you know, certainly within the arts themselves, those would be like the pointed examples of going back to those classic pieces of art that continually give us more and more. But one of the things that I feel as though is sometimes when we're talking about beauty and art, sometimes they sound like big grandiose terms, but I really think it really applies to everyone. I can think of many people who would maybe never step foot in an art museum, and yet you drive by their house and they have that perfectly manicured lawn, right? You have the dark and the light stripes and everything else. My wife loves to organize, and I don't think that's just for practical reason. There's something satisfying when everything is in its proper place and in its proper drawer. You know, even sports. You know, there's more than one way to get a ball in the hoop, but there's something about that fadeaway jumper that's nothing but net. You know, so there's an aspect of beauty, I think, that really gets at the core, at the heart of all of us. The arts just happen to be that very pointed expression of beauty. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think when we think about beauty, it's easy to think about art. That's the thing that very easily comes to mind. But you're right, it's more than just going to an art museum and looking at paintings that people may or may not understand. There's a lot more to it than just that. What is the discipline of philosophy that considers beauty and art?
Yeah, so when I was speaking, you know, starting off with that understanding of beauty as something that grabs our attention, aesthetics is really, well, asking the questions of why. Why does this grab my attention? Why do I find this beautiful? And then also being able to articulate that for other people. So whereas, you know, ontology, as some of your other guests have to do with what exists within the world, epistemology is how we know what is in the world. Well, aesthetics has to do with how is it that we experience the world? It's asking questions about that.
So let's talk about some worldly assumptions when it comes to beauty and what is beautiful. What are some assumptions that the world and our culture have about what is beautiful?
Yeah, probably the number one, and it's become a bit of a cliche, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder, where it's almost become this kind of canonical phrase, right? That each of us gets to decide what is beautiful. And where this can go awry is if what somebody means by this is that all of beauty is reduced to my individual preferences, my tastes, then it becomes really difficult to determine any kind of objective beauty in the world at all. You know, if all of beauty is wrapped up in what my individual preferences are, then nothing is really beautiful at the same time. Like if everything, then everything has that potential to be beautiful, then really nothing is beautiful at all. And, you know, there's certainly problems with that because we recognize that when we talk about beauty, we speak of it in a way, I expect you to agree with me. If I say something is beautiful, I expect you to agree with me. We don't nobody actually, even if somebody actually says that phrase, nobody actually lives by it. So that would be one of the chief ones.
Yeah. What happens when we try to make everything beautiful? I think that that's very much a cultural thing, that everything is beautiful, or everything. I mean, we talk about things as if everything is beautiful, even if it's not. What happens when we lean into that idea that everything is beautiful?
Well, this would be, I mean, you're certainly then running into problems when you start getting on some of your other topics, which would be ethics. If everything is beautiful, or I get to decide what is beautiful, then what happens when my preferences conflict with somebody else's? And it fundamentally does not recognize the fallenness of this world, that nothing, I mean, this world is a fallen place. And to say that everything is beautiful is just simply wrong.
Now, as a former art student, how does that work in an art class? Did you talk about beauty when you were an art student? And was it subjective or objective or somewhere? Is there another option?
Yeah, so most of my classes were in the studio of actually doing art. And so I actually didn't take a lot of aesthetics class, anything that was really geared towards aesthetics. So that conversation didn't really come up too much. But
So other assumptions, we've talked about the idea that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Any other worldly assumptions about beauty that we want to talk about today?
Yeah. I think one of the things, especially within academia, is that the very existence of beauty is looked upon with suspicion as some kind of power structure of suppressing other people. And so we're living in a time where there's a certain kind of secular iconoclasm, where people feel this need to tear everything down because they become increasingly suspicious of beauty. And, you know, the problem here is that it misses the mark. You know, certainly there is within history examples of where beauty has been misused and abused to propagate lies and falsehoods, but it misses the mark of the root problem, which is our fallen nature, our sin. And it doesn't actually get to the root problem. Tearing down these statues and art and everything else that may have had a problematic past doesn't actually get to the root problem of our lives. So I like to look at how Martin Luther, when he came back from the Wartburg, when he was hiding, and he comes back to Wittenberg, and there's iconoclasm happening. Martin Luther at that time was not necessarily a big fan of images, but he says, "Let the word of God do its work to ultimately tear down any idols."
Yeah, when you're talking about that, I'm thinking of just like architecture styles and things that we see out in just our daily life, of architectural things that I think most people would consider beautiful, very ornate design, things with a lot of detail and color, versus, you know, very stark concrete buildings. I mean, it's hard to compare those as the same level of aesthetics. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're talking about?
So to understand that is to see this movement within the arts. Sometimes the artist is called the avant-garde, the leading edge. This was using this sort of military terminology to see artists as being those who are on the cutting edge, who are fighting against all of the social structures in order to bring about societal change. And so behind a lot of those, you know, architectural movements and all of the rest is this idea that by tearing down and trying to get at something that is different, something that is apart from the past, you're opening up this idea for something new to emerge. But the problem there is that it never actually addresses the real problem. So
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Matthew Rosebrock, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lindenwood, Illinois, and he's written the section on aesthetics in Prepared with a Reason. We'll continue our conversation in this series in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today, we are continuing our series on Prepared with a Reason from Concordia Publishing House. We're talking with the Reverend Dr. Matthew Rosebrock. He's pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lindenwood, Illinois, and he's written the topic on aesthetics in Prepared with a Reason. Now, we've been talking about some worldly views. I have one more question about worldly views when it comes to aesthetics. Does religion have a place in this worldly view when it comes to aesthetics?
Yeah, we could see this especially in our daily lives. This idea that my whole life, again, that my life is about cultivating these experiences, cultivating these aesthetic enjoyments to maximize my pleasure and to minimize my pain. And as we've talked about already, there are ethical concerns when that becomes the primary driver of our lives. And at the same time, we also want... We see this all of ourselves, especially you go on social media, this desire to fashion ourselves as being beautiful for other people. It's not a coincidence that we have these terms like personal branding, you know, and my social media presence and this concern for my reputation that I want to present myself as the most beautiful version of myself for you to see, to make myself attractive before other people. So, and that in itself becomes this own sort of religion, right? That we're constantly feeding ourselves into our daily practices of trying to make ourselves beautiful before other people.
What does God's word tell us about beauty?
Yeah, well, you would go back right to Genesis chapter 1. There in the creation account, God looks upon his creation. It says it's good. He saw that it was good. And then on day 6, when he looks at all of that he had created, he says it's very good. So to start off, in that very word good can have those connotations of beauty as well. There's integrity to it. There's something that is foundationally beautiful. And then we also know that God himself is beautiful. From Psalm 104, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. And then the psalm goes on, extolling God for his great and mighty and beautiful works in all of creation. So God himself is beautiful. And yet we know that also sin has entered into this world. And it's interesting that when Eve looks upon the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, she sees it as it was good to eat, as there was something to be desired about it. And that so she has now distorted God's good gift and Adam as well by taking of this fruit and have thus now distorted our perception of what is truly beautiful. And yet God has not given up on his creation. God has not given up on us. And he sent his own son into the world to take our sin upon himself and to take the judgment that our sin deserves upon himself. In Isaiah 53:2, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him and no beauty that we should desire him. You know, I find it interesting that here Christ on the tree of the cross gives us the life-giving fruit of salvation, that here he has taken the our ugly sin upon himself, and now it's through his cross that he actually gives us life and eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins, life eternal, all in him. And then, we're given the promise that one day when Christ returns, we will see completely aright. Even now, as we see, you know, dimmed, and certainly we are still struggling with our sin, and that. But we, even by faith today, we can start to point out that which is good and pleasing by holding fast to God's word. But we have the promise that on the final day, that Christ will bring it all together again, and all will see the beauty of God forever, the beauty of his church forever.
Why was this topic of aesthetics interesting to you?
I have grown up drawing as long as I can remember, always doing art. And, you know, I hesitate to call myself an artist because I don't put in all of the studio work, the hours upon hours, you know, that an artist does. But one of the things about being drawn to art and doing art is that it makes you become an observer. Every good artist is an observer. It's somebody who takes time to see. In our world, we are bombarded by image after image, and we've kind of lost that sense of knowing how to see and knowing how to look and to slow down and to take time. And aesthetics really gets at those questions of why. What does it mean to slow down and to see and to examine what it is? Why are we drawn to these things? Why do we say this is beautiful and that is not?
How do we know what beauty is? I love what you're saying about aesthetics and learning to observe, learning how to see things and to know what is beautiful, what is not beautiful. How do you do that in your own life? How do we know, maybe from God's word too, what is beautiful in the world around us?
Yeah, I would, first of all, for the church, is that we listen to God's word so that we let God's word be that which is opening the eyes of our hearts, you know, illumining the eyes of our hearts, as Paul would say, that we see aright, and we pray to the Lord, that we read his word, that we're there in church and receiving his good gifts. And how, even though, you know, from a worldly perspective, it does not look magnificent and amazing all the time, but yet in these humble means of God's word and his sacrament, God's word and water and baptism, God's word and the elements, the Lord's Supper, that we're receiving Jesus' very body and blood, that we begin to see aright what are the things that are truly of value and eternal that God has given us, so that we can call a thing for what it is, that we can call that which God calls beautiful, beautiful.
What did you learn in your preparations to write the materials for Prepared with a Reason?
Yeah, I would say probably a greater appreciation for that interconnection of, this is kind of the big word here, transcendentals of goodness, truth, and beauty, a greater appreciation of the history within Christianity and Christian theology of these three transcendentals. And then also it really forced me to examine the ways that these big ideas like beauty apply to everyone, whether we realize it or not.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Matthew Rosebrock, pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Lindenwood, Illinois. He wrote the topic on aesthetics in Prepared with a Reason. Dr. Rosebrock, thank you so much for joining us today and for being our guest on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.